You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 30 October. Microsoft and Meta results after US market close. Watch CapEx spend, as that is essentially Nvidia's earnings. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Gary Boyson, Rand Swiss. ShopRite, I mean, are they the only food game in town? In which case, what about clothing? Does he have a preferred stock in the clothing space? Tertia Jacobs from Investec. We've got midterm budget policy statement this afternoon. Anything we should look out for? Then we get chatting with Prescient Investment Management. We've got the U.S. election, of course, next week, potential market volatility implications for local investors. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: standardized global tax for super wealthy mooted. It would raise 4.4 trillion rand a year, tax the world with billionaires. This has mooted at the IFA Congress in Cape Town yesterday. Business Day: corporate confidence drives unexpected credit growth in September. Private sector credit growth was 4.6% year on year, exceeding expectations. Morning markets: US was green, S&P up 0.2%, NASDAQ up 1%. The East is red. Sydney down 0.8%, Tokyo down 0.8%, Hong Kong off 1.6%, Tencent down 1.2%. Commodities are mixed: gold all-time high at 2,790, Brent weaker 71.49, platinum 1,058, palladium weaker 1,215, rand 1,769, Bitcoin 71,200, and top 40 opening call 350 points to the red, a little over 0.4% weaker.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Gary, appreciate the early morning time. I said in the intro there, I mean, it's almost, we had Pick and Pay on Monday, horror numbers. Then we have ShopRite coming out on Tuesday. It's almost like ShopRite's, I don't know, the playground bully in a sense. They really knock it out the park and show contrastingly how bad the Pick and Pay is. There's no debating, ShopRite's the winner here. But is ShopRite worth putting in a portfolio at current levels, or is it too expensive, or is it always expensive?
I think ShopRite's always expensive. You're looking at it, if you're just looking in terms of earnings, it's trading on 25 PE versus a Woolies at 23. So not particularly expensive. Sure. If, as you say, you're getting the juggernaut in the industry, 180 billion market cap. In my opinion, by far the most innovative grocer, at least in South Africa. And I mean, we know that they're obviously going through a few structural changes because they're dumping that OK Furniture and House and Home business that was only ever it's about 3% of overall revenue, mm-hmm. so small. Doesn't really fit with their model. But they're also buying Pingo, which is the other 50% of their delivery app. And that, for me, makes them exceptionally exciting. It kind of says, should we not be valuing this more like an Uber rather than a typical grocer? Because it is really just an incredible delivery business. But as you said, the numbers were great. SA Supermarkets, which makes up the vast majority, up 11.4%, very, very respectable. And at the same time, an enormous share buyback program in place at the moment. So yeah. I say enormous, about a billion shares bought back in the last quarter. Remember, their year end is the 30th of June. So in the first quarter, they bought a billion rands worth of their shares, essentially. and since 2021, their share buyback program has only bought around 2.6 billion, but that's at an average price of 211. So at 305, they saw value in their own stock, and I think we do as well. And even at 25, it is slightly higher than the historical average, but there are real tailwinds to the South African market at the moment. And yes, it's a grocer, and yes, it's a little bit more defensive, and I think that's why you haven't seen the share price return that you've seen from the likes of Mr. Price or Fashini, which are more sensitive to the interest rate cycle. But things are getting better. The consumer is going to be a little bit stronger in the next 2 to 3 years. So to have the best logistics network, that's kind of something we're proud for. It's a core holding in our portfolio and has been for the last 8 years.
Yep, core holding in my portfolio as well. You mentioned the clothing retailers. Have you got a core clothing holding retailer, or they're more cyclical?
They are cyclical, but the one in our portfolio at the moment, and it has been for a while, is Mr. Price. I think you for now, I don't know if I'd be rushing out to buy Mr. Price. Out of, if you look across the whole retail spectrum, year-to-date total return on Mr. Price is up 68%. It's by far in the lead. The next best is Truworths, up about 60%. So, this is significantly ahead of some of the grocers with Pick n Pay up, ShopRite up around 14%. So, it's they've run hard, and you can understand why they've run hard, because they are very, very rate sensitive. When fuel prices come down, their sales kind of jump. But Mr. Price, I mean, we're expecting a report out 21st of November. That's when they'll be reporting their interims. So we haven't had a lot of data out of them recently. But the last reports, 11 out of the last 12 months, they've been taking market share. And these businesses are about seasonality, but from our analysis, it looks like they are getting their mix right and the offering right. So we'll see on the 21st of November if we don't get an update before that.
Hopefully an update before that, because it'll be telling us that they're doing great. We'll leave it there. Gary Boyson, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the early morning time. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the Stanlib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Tertia Jacobs, Treasury Economist at Investec. Tertia, appreciate the time. Midterm budget policy statement later today. What are the biggies to watch for? Is it really revenue collection and, I suppose, expenditure?
Simon, yes. So very interesting. What will be the key focus points? So in the context of that, we expect very minor changes to the expenditure and the revenue projections. I think the key focus is more on progress towards really kickstarting the structural reform growth that we've been waiting for quite a few years now.
I take your point on that. Grey listing, we've got news flow coming around it. We're hoping to get off the grey list, middle of next year. Would that be something the minister's going to address?
I don't think that's going to be a key focus point, although he may refer to it. We have ticked the boxes of, I think, about 18 out of the, or 16 out of the 22, issues that we still have to deal with. But that's not going to be the key focus point at the MTBPS.
He will give us GDP forecast updates. We've seen inflation lower. We've seen no load shedding now for well over 200 days. Any chance he will give significant updates? Was it going to be kind of modest?
I think we are more in the modest camp. So this year, both the Reserve Bank and the National Treasury's GDP growth forecasts have been for 1.3%. Mm-hmm. So we don't see many, upward revisions to this. I think the focus point will be more for what they anticipate for 25 and 26. And, at the moment, consensus forecasts are around about 1.7%, 1.8%. I see IMF is now upgraded to about 1.5%. Which is still below the Reserve Bank and National Treasury forecast of 1.6%. So the focus here will be if they will start upgrading the forecast more to the 2% plus level. And that is where the infrastructure reforms become very important.
That infrastructure is hugely important. And of course, the PPPs as well. This is not really my send, as I understand, sort of where policy is set. That's more February, but he can give us updates. And as you say, maybe some tweaks and maybe some bigger pointers.
I think so. So we do expect a progress report about what Operation Vulindlela has achieved. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at the first term, it was very much on the regulatory and the legislative reforms, right? And that's actually very slow. So we certainly tick the boxes, for example, for the Electricity Regulator Act that has been implemented. At the freight level, we've seen the split in the freight infrastructure manager and the operational side. So these are big ticks. But now it is for the detail. So I don't think the minister can fill that in yet, because that is sort of still developing. We're waiting for the network draft access program. And of course, the big outstanding issue at Transnet is, the state capture debt that's left like a 60, 70 billion rand hole. But we don't know what the end state for Transnet looks like. So I think they will try and give us an idea about progress, and perhaps, you know, in terms of next year, where we can see an increase in momentum. But perhaps one of the bigger focus points will be, you know, what's happening on the transmission side. Mm-hmm. And that is where we will focus on, you know, what kind of credit guarantees, what will be the financing. Because, you know, as you've actually pointed out, is for growth to start to pick up, we need private sector involvement. Yeah. That will happen through the PPPs. And for that, we need the pipeline of projects. But first, we need that PPP framework that needs to be revised. So we're also looking for pointers on how that could be evolving.
In olden days, SAA would have been on the agenda looking for another bailout. Reports again earlier this week that they're actually debt-free. Eskom certainly moving in the right direction. You mentioned the transmissions there. Transnet remains the big challenge, both for a country, but definitely for government and for the ministry.
Certainly. So in our projections, we haven't yet penciled in anything for Transnet, because I don't think Transnet is over the line yet, right? We don't know exactly what we're dealing with, but they certainly need new capital to increase new investment. So that's a critical point. I think what is going to be interesting is what's going to happen to the post office, you know, because they've already received, like, I think 12.7 billion rand of bailouts. There's no implementation of the turnaround strategy. So the Minister and National Treasury have changed the guarantee framework, like what you mentioned about SAA and previously about Eskom. You know, they would just provide capital or guarantees or cash injection to save the entity. But now the focus is more on where this SOE plays in the economy.
Yeah.
So what is the role of the post office? So I think, you know, I'm moving on now from Transnet and Eskom, because that still continues to play out. But the post office one is certainly going to be a very interesting dynamic to monitor.
Yeah, to be honest, I'd forgotten about the post office because, well, I don't get letters anymore. And I'm never sure if it's because no one writes me off, because I don't get delivered. We'll leave it there. That's Tertia Jacobs, Treasury Economist at Investec. Really appreciate the insights.
And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Midterm budget policy statement. Are you expecting any surprises? Tertia there said no. Really, it's going to be a little bit of details. But have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Bastien Trachiba. He is Chief Investment Officer, Prescient Investment Management. Bastien, appreciate the early morning. We've got the US election on Tuesday. Results will probably take some days. And of course, the new president is only sworn in the third week of January. But the short answer is we can probably expect between now and for the next couple of weeks some volatility and maybe some shifting towards sort of safe assets. Certainly, we've got gold, all-time highs this morning.
Simon, thanks for having me on. And yes, you're spot on. The election is around the corner in the States, and it's going to be an interesting one. Once again, very tight race, not really clear who's going to take it. But what we do know is that it will be a significant effect on capital markets, because policies are different of the two candidates. And I mean, we must not forget the US economy is the largest financial driver, the largest engine room of the world, so to say, and is a driver of the largest financial market.
I take your point. It's certainly,
with that, we expect implications.
I take your point. I mean, stark differences between the Harris and the Trump policies. Is it fair to say that a Harris victory would be more or less a continuation of Biden, whereas Trump is very much going to be the stark difference in terms of what he implements? Or is Harris going to also make some significant changes?
No, that's exactly what we would expect, Simon. So for Harris, it's probably more of the same, which obviously is positive in the way that we see stability and also like certainty. So there's less concern. There aren't drastic shifts and especially like geopolitical stances, etc., trade politics, etc. It will be more of the same. Whether this is good or bad, we leave everybody to judge for its own. But with the Trump administration, there could be good stuff as well. There could be bad stuff. So it's very hard to say. But the big worry here is that it could be a little bit erratic and harder to predict.
Yeah, I mean, erratic. I mean, I remember the sanctions on China. Biden continued them, but Trump did them on Twitter. Biden did them during the normal channels. And trade trade is going to be one of the big issues. I mean, Trump has been talking around being very much more inward looking. He's been talking around tariffs left, right and center. What he implements, time will tell. But that is perhaps one of the potential big challenges.
That's exactly it, Simon. We must acknowledge that in the United States, the tough stance against China is pretty bilateral. So yeah. It's not that it's just Trump being very tough on China and Harris being quite easy. So both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, are taking a tough stance on China. So it's not just Trump. But obviously Trump, I mean, he has set out already his quite aggressive tariffs against China and also a quite aggressive set of tariffs against the rest of the world. So with that, the implications on global trade and with that on the global economy could be quite significant if Trump really takes office.
Significant on the global economy, also significant on the US economy, potentially inflationary. And of course, that then brings the Federal Reserve interest rates and inflation into the picture as well.
100%. The Federal Reserve should more look at the long-term trend of inflation and inflation expectations. So with that, they, in theory, should look through the short-term spike in inflation, which we could see through tariffs. I mean, think about it. If you introduce tariffs right now, everything might become 3 or 5% more expensive, but that's a once-off effect, right? So basically, with that, the Fed, which is more interested in the long-term trend of inflation, they should look through that. At the same point in time, it might actually be deflationary to have less economic growth based on the fact that tariffs are basically implemented. But nevertheless, that's the theory. I think in practice, once we see tariffs, once we see a spike of inflation, it will be tougher for the Fed to lower interest rates at the same pause that they predicted right now.
What about emerging markets generally? I mean, obviously, we're in emerging market. We fall in that category. I mean, this is almost the old cliche, when the elephants fight, the ants get damaged. I mean, you know, the US is the world's largest economy. There's going to be implications. There will be ripple down to EMs. Is there opportunity there, or are we going to get sort of dragged along?
Yeah, that remains to be seen. It's certainly the stance is that we need to be careful. I mean, as an emerging market and as us being part of the BRICS, there's definitely a bigger risk for us for us being South Africans with a Trump administration than with a Harris administration. That's, I think, out of question. And what might help us potentially a little bit here, though, is that we must keep in mind, while the US is a quite large trade partner for us, roughly 9% of South African trade is with the United States. But in return, South Africa is almost negligible for the United States, with less than 0.5% of US trade. So maybe if a Trump administration takes place, we might get lucky in a way that we are just too unimportant face particularly tough tariffs from a Trump administration.
I take your point. We're too small. We are not even on the page 3 of the list. Last question. We're talking volatility. We're talking potential inflation, some trade wars. What does that do to the dollar? Because, of course, the dollar then directly impacts the rand. That could impact our inflation. Where do we see the dollar in the event of a Trump victory?
Yeah, definitely stronger dollar if Trump takes office for different reasons. First of all, the tariffs will potentially strengthen the dollar, at least over the short term. The inward-looking stance potentially could strengthen the dollar in a way that it harms trade partners more than the United States directly. Mm-hmm. And I think most importantly, though, is the fact that the dollar is a strong safe haven currency. So basically, in any period of uncertainty, in any period of crisis, people or investors tend to gravitate towards having more dollar exposure, more hard currency exposure, and that would most likely strengthen the dollar against especially the rand.
Yeah, and the irony is, of course, they might be causing the crisis, but they're going to, the dollar will benefit. We'll leave it there. Bastian Trekgereba, Chief Investment Officer, Prescient Investment Management. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. I was chatting with Steve Brooks yesterday. He, of course, CEO of Baldwin, talking around recent results. It was a tough 6 months. HEPSA down, what, some 57%. We asked you, are you looking to buy a home in this market? Half of you said, nope, happy homeowner already. A third said, I'm renting, don't want to buy. The rest of you were like, yeah, keen, but looks watching rates as they go lower. Steve had said they're not seeing any impact yet on a measly 0.25% rate cut. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Merchant Retail Survey.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.